From meager beginnings as an adolescent ambulance washer in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, to a decade-long legacy of bringing you breaking news before it makes the news, broadcasting live from the studios of Scared Monkeys Radio Network via C-band satellite W3-957, Access Communications Channel 7, and worldwide via digital streaming audio at scaredmonkeysradio.com, it's the Dana Pretzer Show. And now, your host, Dana Pretzer.
Okay, good evening, everyone. I'm sure you're all aware of the scandal that has rocked the Duggar family from Arkansas. And I can't even say allegation because Josh Duggar has admitted to doing what he's done. However, the big story is the release of the report 12, 13 years later, whatever, however long it was. Why was it released? Is it legal to have it released? The re-victimization of the victims. What about Josh Duggar? Was this handled right? And I thought no better person to go to than Wendy Murphy. Wendy, as you know, is a former prosecutor. She's a law professor. She's a crime analyst on television. And I'm sure someone who has lots of thoughts on this situation. Wendy, how are you?
Hey, Dana, good to be with you.
Now, reality TV is a train wreck at best, and when it comes into our rooms and our televisions. But when you look at this, if we took the Duggar name away, and I asked you the question about releasing a sealed file 13 years later, what about that?
Well, it was created in 06, right? So it wasn't quite 13. You mean it was... the event itself occurred 13 years ago. And, you know, I have mixed feelings about it because, on the one hand, especially under Massachusetts law, which is where I live, the concept of privacy rights is so much stronger for the bad guys. And, you know, I mean, I don't know how else to put this, but if you're a criminal and you get in trouble in Massachusetts, even if you're not a juvenile, it's really hard for the public to find out, except on the day of your arraignment or in connection with the criminal case and so forth. But, you know, years later, we have some of, I don't want to call them the best, but the toughest privacy laws for convicted criminals. I have a lot about this in my book because it makes me crazy. To me, the most important information in terms of the right of the public to have access is criminal behavior. It's the quintessential public information, and it's the responsibility of government to keep the public safe, thing one, right? So the idea that any criminal behavior should ever be private makes me crazy. And I do understand that when it's a juvenile or when somebody's been reformed, you know, you want them to have another chance at a redeemed life and to move on and have a productive career in whatever path they choose, and I'm not opposed to that. But I don't think you get that with privacy. I think you get that with openness and accountability and redemption. You know, people apologize. Yes, I did some bad things, and here they are, and I hope you'll forgive me, and I want this to be very open so you can forgive me, and we all know the truth, and I want to prove to you that I've earned your trust again, and I can walk around free in society. That's what I favor. Not judging people harshly because they did something terrible, but making sure that when they do something terrible, that they're held to account and that it isn't a secret. Secrecy really is, I think, the poison and the toxic underbelly of what makes this country's legal system so ineffective, frankly, and so scary to law-abiding citizens in particular. But now let's get to the Duggars.
Sure.
The case is a little bit unusual in the sense that it comes from Arkansas, where the laws are a bit different from some states, different from Massachusetts in particular. And there are two issues that we need to talk about. One is the nature of the offense having been committed by a juvenile, or at least by Josh Duggar at a time when he was a juvenile, and what does that tell us, if anything, about privacy rights and confidentiality of the information? And separately, is there a special layer of protection because of the nature of the crime and the age of the victims and the fact that it was a sexual assault case? First issue first, under Arkansas law, the only way a juvenile who has done something terrible and it's been reported to police, the only way that juvenile's information is protected is if the case makes it to prosecution, if it leads to formal charges.
Okay.
Because only, you know, only a formal report gets that gloss of protection for, quote-unquote, juvenile criminal records. This technically isn't a juvenile criminal record because it went nowhere. So, unfortunately for Josh Duggar, because he wasn't charged, the record is less protected under the Arkansas rules that protect, quote-unquote, juvenile records. And that's too bad, but that's the way it is. The second question, you know, what about the fact that the police report revealed the identities of the victims indirectly? And, you know, I'm sure your listeners have read or seen the report. It's very obvious in the report who the victims are.
Right.
Their addresses are there, their ages to some extent are there, and the circumstances make it clear that many of the incidents occurred in the home. It's an important question, you know, did they do enough, the holders of the records, did they do enough to protect the victims from being identified? And under Arkansas law, if you just read the statute, it pretty clearly says that there should be no dissemination of the identities of sex crimes victims. And that's true, and that's true in many states. However, what very few commentators on television and legal analysts have said, because maybe they don't realize this, is that in 1989, in this very well-known Supreme Court case called Florida Star, the Supreme Court said those statutes are unconstitutional. It's simply improper to have a statute in any state that declares the identity of a victim protected from public knowledge and public access based on the fact that it's a sex crime. That's just not, in and of itself, sufficient grounds to overcome the First Amendment right that the public has to access public information. And, you know, once you realize that the Supreme Court has struck down as unconstitutional the very statute in Arkansas that purports to protect victims from being identified, then it's a lot easier to see why the fact that they didn't do a better job protecting the identities of the victims, though they might have taken steps to protect their identities a little better, just as a moral matter, the fact is they really weren't obligated to do anything at all. They could have just sent the entire file out, and I think the only reason they did anything at all is because the victims were kids. And I do think that sometimes when a child victim is involved, there are provisions in some of the case law that suggest, despite what the Supreme Court said in 1989, that courts should take it a little bit further to avoid causing needless harm to the victims. But, you know, I do think that at a very simple level, the release of the police report, despite that Josh was apparently a juvenile at the time, and despite that the victims were victims of sexual assault, and were underage, that the law allows the release of that information. And frankly, in my opinion, because too much of this kind of abusive behavior, especially child sex abuse, happens behind closed doors, usually in family settings, and is kept secret for a host of reasons, including that it happens behind closed doors in family settings, that we should be celebrating the release of information that reveals that this happened to a family like the Duggars, because, you know, there are people out there who probably would have wrongly believed that the Duggars aren't the type that where this would happen. And it's good for the public to know that this behavior happens to all types of families, and even the highly religious or whatever, I don't know what their belief system is. I know it's some kind of unusual religious belief, but whatever their belief system is, there's nothing about the fact that a family is very religious that excludes them from having this kind of horrific behavior occurring behind closed doors.
Wendy Murphy's here, and we're talking about the Duggar molestation case. And I agree with you, but yet we see jurisdiction after jurisdiction, including up here in Canada, that protects the accused, that we can't release the name of the accused because it may lead to the identity of the victim, you know, blah, 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 all that sort of stuff. But here we are all these years later, either from the time of when it happened or the time it was investigated, and then all of a sudden, why now? Now, you've done a lot of work in television, and you continue to do a lot of work in television. So we have a reality program where you kind of put yourself open before the cameras, religious ideology aside, and now we have the two daughters who were with Megyn Kelly the other night starting their lives. One has a baby on the way, the other one has just a new baby, and all that sort of stuff. What about them and this coming forward all these years later?
Well, when I saw them, I thought they are absolutely entitled to their feelings. There's no doubt about it. And they don't have to agree with me or with the law, but the fact is it's not their fault that this happened, and it's not supposed to cause them grief to be known as victims of molestation, especially as children. And the fact that they're describing it as harmful troubles me, because, yeah, I want to live in a world where when it comes out that a victim was abused, or either as a child or not, I want that to be not a heroic event, but something very, comfortable for the victim to talk about, and where they don't say, oh, I'm so horrified that people know. To the extent it feels shameful to those girls, it shouldn't. And it's too bad that it apparently does make them feel bad. But the question is why? And we need to ask them that question. Why do you feel bad about this? This is something terrible that happened. You don't deserve to feel shame. And the fact that the public knows about it is exactly what is supposed to happen when people hurt each other behind closed doors. So there's no need to cry. All you should be thinking about is how okay it is now that it's not a secret. The biggest problem in terms of emotional damage to victims, the biggest problem, and the literature shows this time and again, is not that there was a particular type of touching or that it was, one body part over another. It's the betrayal and the secrecy, especially in the family, when victims feel betrayed because the person who hurt them was a family member, and then to make matters worse, the parents, the protective adults, are supposed to help, and they don't help. That form of betrayal, that kind of secrecy on top of betrayal, is what hurts victims the most. And of course, then, if they're trained to believe that it's an important secret to keep, and we really have to keep the secret and make sure we keep the secret, then of course they're going to be upset when the secret comes out.
Yeah.
But if the kids had been raised to believe that this is not shameful, it wasn't their fault, it was something he shouldn't have done, and, if it does come out, there's nothing to be worried about because it happens in a lot of families to lots and lots of people. That's the problem. It's our culturally constructed, really strange way of responding that I think caused the girls to feel as sad as they did. Now, having said that, I think we also have to realize that however they feel, even if all was said and done and the world worked the way I want it to and they still felt terrible, the fact is it's almost, frankly, irrelevant that they feel sad about the disclosure, because crime behind closed doors is a public issue. It's always a public issue. They may not want it to be a public issue, but it is. And the fact is it was reported to the police, which makes it an even stronger public concern. And the public has a right to know. And I realize that makes them feel sad, but it's kind of beside the point. Their feelings are legitimate, but it is still a very serious felony. And let me say this too, Dana. I read through the police reports. Remember, the parents initially did not allow, did not cooperate, and they were resistant and so forth. And I, when I read the statements of the girls, remember, there were five girls, four from the family, one not. The youngest appears to have been only four or five years old. That's really young. That's really vulnerable. This was not a couple of preteens playing doctor. This was predatory. It occurred over a long period of time. It was, I'm sure, terrorizing the girls, because if you go to sleep in your bed at night and you think you're in your safe house and you know, your family loves you and you're secure in your little bed, and for a very long time you don't feel safe because you have no idea whether your own family member is going to come in and hurt you, that can be devastating to the psychological well-being of a kid because of the fear, the terroristic fear every single night that kicks in. The idea that you're not safe in your body, you're not safe in your house, you're not safe in your bed. It's terrible to do. But I read the statements of all the girls, and I have to say I was struck by the lack of credibility in the statements. And I don't mean to say that, that the girls weren't telling the truth about what happened. I mean to say it sounds to me like they greatly understated what happened. Now, I don't have any real basis for this except to say that in all the decades of years that I've been doing this work, it's extraordinary to me to see five statements all look so similar. So they come across as very prepared. They come across as, you know, robotic, planned even. And every one of them said the same thing, that he touched their breast, he touched them in their underpants or above or below their clothing. My feeling is that makes no sense. It absolutely makes no sense that he would have done the exact same thing over the course of such a long period of time in exactly the same way to five different girls. It makes no sense. I don't believe it.
Wendy Murphy's here. We're talking about the Duggar case. You know, it's me, TLC, and you've done a lot of work with television and continue to. TLC is talking to about they've taken the show off the schedule, canceling it. It's reality. It's life. I think they should keep the show going and bring this into the script, so to speak. They won't. But what about that? What about reality television, you know, the honey boo-boos and all this sort of stuff that one of the Robertsons has come forward now saying that he was molested when he was five, and statistics, you know, they show the molestation rates of young children, and most times it's someone that they know that's responsible and all of that. But what about the reality TV aspect? Is TLC too quick to cancel?
Boy, that's a hard question to ask of me. I don't know what the Robertsons is. Is that a show?
That's the Duck Dynasty.
Oh.
I don't watch it, but this is what they're saying.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know that. I do recall when Honey Boo Boo first came out, it got a lot of press, and I was filling in as a show host on a TV show, and we talked about it. And what I remember thinking at the time was, if all you're going to do is let people film your life, and if the reason people watch the show is because they want to make fun of you, and you're okay with that, who am I to judge, right? I have a hard time condemning all of reality television because I do think that people are allowed to watch what they want to watch, and I do think that if the families that submit to that, that's how they want to earn money. So long as you're not causing harm, and I guess we could debate whether it's causing harm, but, you know, I guess you should be allowed to do that. Here's what I don't agree with, though, about the Duggars. I mean, I also wish that Boo Boo would put the money they made from the show into a college fund, but I'm not sure that's going to happen. Or, you know, just kind of be productive about the money that's being made. And it's hard to make people be responsible with the money they make from television, which is why so many stars end up in terrible straits and, you know, making poor life choices. But we can't babysit everybody. And, you know, I'm not fond of telling people how to spend their money. Having said that, I do think that when kids are involved, there's a different angle. And, you know, kids can't protect themselves from exploitation, and kids can't protect themselves from the harm of being exploited. And I do think that we've walked or waded too far in that water when it comes to reality television, where whether it's the people that had the 8 kids or these 19 kids, you know, when you put a child on television, they're not free to make the choice to be exploited. They can't self-exploit with free will because they're not old enough. And I think it's wrong in a way that we don't regulate, and we may never regulate simply because it makes too much money. But for the Duggars, the reason I really would not like to see them back on television, I don't care how much money they make for anybody, I just don't care at all. Some things are more important, and that is that whatever the story is that would be told about what actually happened, it wouldn't be true.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe that's just the way it is about reality television. Maybe lots of these shows are only partly true and they're partly nonsense. But whatever that problem is, this issue should not be falsely portrayed, because the harm to the public, I think, would be too great. If the public is watching the Duggars talk about this sexual abuse stuff, and they don't tell the truth, just like I think the truth was not told in those police reports, and they soft pedal it, and the parents say stupid things like, oh, well, at least it wasn't rape, which is absurd, because under Arkansas law, any touching of the genitalia, because any penetration, however slight, is actually considered sufficient for rape. But to have a parent be audacious enough to try to soft pedal such predatory, incredibly pervasive, abusive behavior by one of their own family members, I think if that happens on national television, you're going to do a lot of damage to the audience and their sense of reality about, number one, how harmful it is, number two, what likely really happened, and why should we give the Duggars a forum to try to create a false narrative about the seriousness of what was really going on. They should shut up. They should go home. They should not be able to exploit sexual abuse for money. They should not be able to exploit the fact that so many children were sexually abused in their home for one red cent. They should not make money talking about the fact that this sexual abuse, in their opinion, was no big deal. That's dangerous to society.
Well said. Last question. We keep hearing the term re-victimization, and I know you're going to mutter under your breath when I ask it. What about it? Is that a fair term to use in this case?
Well, you know, I guess what I would say to that is there are consequences to this behavior, that when somebody is abused and it is revealed, especially if it occurs within the family, there can be stress on the family. It can be hard because the victims often feel responsible for the harm that happens to the family. The victims feel responsible because they told. They feel like it's their fault that the guy gets in trouble. And to me, it really isn't a re-victimization problem so much as it is our society's willingness to blame the victim for everything. It's the victim's fault she was molested. It's the victim's fault for telling. It's the victim's fault the family suffered the consequences of losing their show. It's the victim's fault the poor guy got in trouble with the police. And really, the exact opposite is true. It's never the victim's fault, ever. It's not the victim's fault she was molested. It's not the victim's fault that she told. It's not the victim's fault the family lost their show, ever. So, you know, when people talk about re-victimizing the victims, I think we really have to take a step back and say, why would you even use that word, as if an ounce of blame should be brought to bear on these victims? The fact is, telling the truth, shining a light on this behavior, paring away, you know, the layers of secrecy, and really making the bad guy and only the bad guy accountable is never re-victimizing. It is only liberating. Holding the bad guy responsible and only the bad guy responsible is the only way victims are ever going to feel comfortable coming forward. Right now, we live in a nation where victims have to do this calculation of risks and benefits. Ooh, what if I tell? What will happen? What will come down as harm to my family if I tell? We need to stop that. We need to be saying to victims, no harm will come. Great things will come. Nobody will suffer. You will be liberated. Everybody will be happy. You will be a hero. That's what we need to be doing for victims. There should be no such thing as re-victimization. It is a harmful word. I won't use it. I will never, ever, ever say to a victim, don't tell. Don't come forward, don't speak out, because the world will judge you harshly or your family will be angry. Yeah, your family might be angry, but if your family gets angry at you for telling the truth about the fact that you were abused, that means you don't have a good family.
Right. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Wendy, thank you as always.
Thanks so much, Dana. I enjoyed it. Talk soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's Wendy Murphy. And one thing you can say about Wendy is she speaks her mind. Some things I don't agree with. And our next guest is a clinical psychiatrist, Dale Archer, who will talk about how this case has affected the Duggars, or could affect the Duggars, both the girls and Josh Duggar. But one thing that we can say for sure, is at least I can say, is I don't feel bad for Josh Duggar. Josh Duggar is a child molester, and whether he's been forgiven or whether he's been counseled and whether he'll reoffend, you know, I don't think it's the issue here right now. The issue is should the story have come out all these years later? If we protect the accused so we don't identify the victim, I think that's wrong. Accused should be identified, and if in the course the victim is identified, fine, then you make sure that that victim is treated fairly, is counseled, and is treated for the problems that they have as a victim. But to protect the accused, to protect Josh Duggar so his sisters would not be identified, is wrong. All these years later, for the story to come out, I'm not buying it right now. I'm not buying it. Something happened. Should TLC have vetted their talent a little bit better before they put this on? Because, again, it's not new. This happened with an Oprah broadcast that she found out, and they didn't put the Duggars on TV, whatever. Should the show continue? Wendy Murphy says, no way. Why give them 1 cent to tell this story? Because it probably wouldn't come out true anyway. I disagree with that a little bit, because I think that the education for the people, that this is reality, that because of their religious ideology, that doesn't mean they're perfect, that things like that can happen to them too now that it's out, well, it probably never will be told. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back, and we'll have Dr. Dale Archer to talk about the psychological aspects of the Duggar story. I'm Dana Presser. This is Scared Monkeys Radio. We're also on Access Channel 7 and 70. We'll be right back. I sat down earlier today with Dr. Dale Archer to talk about the Duggar scandal, to get his perspective on the release of the report all these years later to a tabloid magazine, how it would affect the victims in this case, the daughters, how it would affect the perpetrator in this case, Josh Duggar, the family, and all that stuff. So here's Dr. Dale Archer. Okay, we're back. This is the Dana Presser Show. I'm sure you're all aware of the scandal that's been going on regarding the Duggar family from Arkansas, 19 kids and counting, the TLC reality show, the molestation, and I can't even say claims, because the older brother has admitted that he is responsible, but all these years later, the reports being released to a tabloid newspaper, and on and on and on, the media coverage, etc. I wanted to bring on my next guest to talk about not so much the legalities, but talk about how it's going to affect the victims, how it's going to affect Josh Duggar himself, or how it has affected, because this has been going on for a while. Dr. Dale Archer is a medical doctor. He's a board-certified psychiatrist and distinguished fellow of the American Psychiatric Association, and always a good friend of the program. Welcome back to the show, sir. How are you?
Hi, Dana. Good to be here.
Well, this is something that, you know, the debate will go on as far as the legality. Should it have happened? Shouldn't it have happened? Megyn Kelly had the Duggars on the other night and did an interview with them. I thought some of it was scripted, and you have to expect that. But I wanted to bring you on to talk about, let's talk about Josh Duggar first of all. Lots goes around as far as child molesters. Can they be rehabilitated? Can't they be rehabilitated? Will they reoffend, et cetera, et cetera? What about Josh Duggar in this whole situation?
Well, you know, in a case like this, as with all cases, you need to evaluate a lot of different factors. So you're looking at the age of the perpetrator, you're looking at the age of the victims, you're looking at the circumstances surrounding them, and you're looking at the severity of the abuse allegations. So I think in this particular case, you've got a guy that was a teenager when all of this took place. Not to say that it was excusable, but to say that, yes, this type of situation typically will respond to rehabilitation, to therapy, to a professional intervention, if you will.
When you see the story, and the story broke, and I don't know if it's 12 years or 13 years, and you're right, he was a teenager. The parents are saying that they took him, had therapy not only for him, but the daughters, took him to the police department, etc. Let's now turn a little bit to the parents at the time and now. A lot of the pundits that we hear and see on television, etc., are saying they didn't handle it right. But Jim Bob Duggar, I thought, answered the question very honestly the other evening when he said, I did what I thought was best at the time. What about that? How could they have handled it better, or did they do what they needed to do?
Well, I think they could have handled it better, but I think that the average person out there probably wouldn't have known what to do either. So, you know, in a case like this, you have a young teenage son who comes to you and says, look, Dad, Mom, this is what I did, and I feel really, really bad about it, but I did it. And so then you're thinking, okay, well, he came to us, he's being honest about it, and so, you know, what do we need to do? And the first message to everybody out there, to every parent out there, is that you've got to get a professional involved immediately.
Yeah.
Because you make the mistake of thinking, okay, he came to me and he told me this, so he's being honest, but you don't know how honest he's being. You don't know the severity of the circumstances. You don't know whether he thought, okay, you know what, I'm going to talk and say I did this, but in reality he did vastly more. You just don't know. And you don't know whether you need to get the law involved. There's a whole host of questions that a professional psychiatrist or psychologist could assess for you and then make that determination. And very often that can take several sessions to get a young person to open up and for you to get a feel as a professional exactly what you're dealing with. So that's the take-home message here. I think they did make a mistake, but I think that a lot of parents out there would have been misled into thinking, he came to us, he's being honest, we can handle it, you know, we'll seek our own counselor to talk to him. And so that was a mistake, but unfortunately it's just it would be a very common mistake in today's society.
Dr. Dale Archer is here. We're talking about the Duggar scandal, the molestation, what they're doing now to deal with it, and should the report have been released all these years later. If you'd like to learn more about the good doctor, click on the link in the show notes. So now all these years later, and we'll get to the victims in a minute, all these years later, the report is released, whether it's vindictive from this police chief. Regardless, it was released. And maybe it's not just about this family or that family or another family a week from now. What about that and the psyche of those that lived it all those years ago to have to live through it now?
It's horrible. I mean, you are essentially re-victimizing the victims, and you're actually victimizing the perpetrator as well. So, I mean, I think that in cases like this, confidentiality is absolutely paramount. And, of course, you have to realize that at the time you were dealing with juveniles. So, you know, in most jurisdictions, that would be a huge no-no to release or leak or for this report to ever have seen the light of day. It shouldn't have happened. So now we've taken an event which we don't know how well it was dealt with back at the time, but we do know now that we have a re-victimization that's occurring that could very well lead to further psychological problems for all the parties concerned. So, yeah, it's a big, big deal.
This is a question maybe unfair for me to ask, but why? Why did Josh Duggar do what he did? Was it an experimentation? Was it puberty? Was it brain chemistry? Why do these people, the young kids, in these situations, do what they do?
Well, Dan, I mean, it's impossible to answer for each individual case, but I think that in general, we can say all of the above. Yeah, I mean, kids are curious, kids experiment, kids go through these phases. It's the job of a parent to talk to your kids as they start getting older and explain what's appropriate and what's not. We don't know whether any of that took place, but I do say that one issue that is not really being discussed here that's hugely important is the fact that being a parent is the hardest job in the world,
yeah.
In the world. And it's a very, very difficult job. And I think it just calls into question, can you be a good parent to 19 kids? you gotta think about that. And I don't hold anyone and say that, look, you can't have as many kids as you want, but I do think that all parents need to understand and need to think about the fact that you would never consider having 6 full-time jobs out in the community.
Right.
So when you raise these kids, you want to be able to give them the time and the effort they deserve, and you're going to reach a certain point where you are at your limit, and you cannot give the individualized attention that you have to give in order to be a good parent. So I do have an issue with that. I think that has not been talked about in this case nearly enough, but it's important.
Dr. Dale Archer's here. We're talking about the Duggar case. Let's get to the victims now. The two daughters, Jill and Jess, I believe their names were, came forward, 2 out of 5 victims. And you've used the term re-victimization, so have I, and I think most people understand what that means. But let's take them back now to when it initially happened. I think the press releases have said that the girls didn't even know what happened until they were told. All these years later, we have young women with their own lives going forward now. They have children. One has a new baby. The other one has a baby on the way. A big family, like you say, 19. They're very close. And even the religious ideology, we can set that aside here for a minute. But then again, I think it is pretty important in this case. How about the victims?
Yeah, unfortunately, I mean, the victims bear the biggest burden here. And we don't know how well they dealt with it at the time. We don't know whether the parents got involved, got them, addressed the issue, and everyone came to a resolution, and it was all resolved, and they moved forward. But whatever happened, now that has been opened up again for the entire world to see. So, you know, in these cases, confidentiality, as I said, is absolutely crucial. And you can work through these things yourself if you're a victim, perhaps with the help of a therapist, perhaps with the help of a trusted friend, and you can get over it, you can get through it. But if all of a sudden, several years later, this is thrown out to the public and now everybody in your life now knows about what happens, I mean, anybody out there can imagine the horrific nature of this. So, yeah, I just really have grave concerns about them, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if they have to go back into counseling or getting involved in counseling for the first time in order to help them cope and to deal with this. Because all of a sudden, what's been very private and very personal, perhaps that they dealt with in their own individual way, now has become a public issue. So even if they did deal with it privately, now they have to deal with it publicly. And often that can be an extremely different set of circumstances, where all of a sudden you're going through the same issues again, you're having to work through it again, but you're doing that with the scrutiny of the whole world upon you. So, yeah, I definitely feel the most sorry for them in this circumstance. And, again, it's just unbelievable to me that these records could have been released. I just don't get it.
Dr. Dale Archer's here for a few more minutes. And I want to get to this, Doc, because you've done a lot of television work and you continue to. How the press has covered this story, it's become a big story. But let's talk about reality media a little bit, and these types of programs. We go back to the Honey Boo Boos of the world, and this show, and others. Where, and I think one of the Duck Dynasty stars has come forward now saying that he was molested as a young boy. Reality TV, when I guess you put the cameras in front of you, does that make your life now wide open to everyone that 12 or 13 or 14 years later you have to spill your guts and say that this happened to me or I did this a long time ago? Is that one of the scourges of reality TV?
It is absolutely a scourge, and I think it's not talked about. And I also think that the individuals who elect to be on these reality TV shows do so with very little insight and very little knowledge as to how their life is going to be ripped wide open for the entire world to look at. And they think that it's just going to be a show that takes place at a point in time, at a certain age in their life, and it's going to be on for 2 or 3 years, and that's going to be it. And nothing could be further from the truth, because once we get someone in the spotlight of TV, once they become a celebrity, as these reality stars all are, then everything becomes fair game, and we want to know every single thing about them. And so, of course, you have the detractors of certain shows who are looking for dirt, and then you have the adherents and the proponents of the shows that are looking for good things in your life. But the net result is that your life is being torn wide open for all the world to see. And I don't think many people are prepared for that or even aware that that's a consequence that they're going to be facing.
Last question. If the Duggar family came to you and said, should we continue on with our television program, how would you answer them?
Well, you know, I've actually been involved in situations where people have come to me in reality TV, and I've actually worked with them in terms of do they go forward or not.
Yep.
And obviously due to confidentiality, I can't release the names.
Sure.
But I will say that it's a very difficult decision for the individual, because on the one hand, no matter what I tell them, no matter all of the cons that we discuss, no matter all of the potential pitfalls, that lure of fame for so many is overpowering. And it's almost like an addiction, a fame addiction, where even though they know the consequences, they're going to opt to continue forward. And I will tell you, I haven't known anyone that I've talked to in these cases that has released the show and said, you know what, enough, that's not for me, I want to do something else. They all end up opting to continue down that route, and it's because of a fame addiction, which is not talked about near enough, but in my opinion, fame is addicting as drugs, alcohol, gambling, some of the well-known addictions that we talk about. I think fame is right up there at the top.
Dr. Dale Archer, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Dana.
Okay. That's Dr. Dale Archer, and as you can see, with a little bit of a different take than Wendy Murphy. Wendy, straight-shooting gal, former sex crimes prosecutor. There should be no protection for the accused in a situation like this. Of course not. I couldn't agree more. Protecting the victims, well, but all these years later, and it's the big thing, is to have this released, 12 years, 13 years, 6 years, 8 years, whatever it is, all these years later, it's nothing more than a hatchet job against this family. Did they handle things right in the first place? Dale Archer says no. Wendy Murphy says no. Should they come back on TV? Wendy Murphy says no way. Will they? I don't know. It's hard to say. But the big thing is that these sorts of situations happen to everyone, people. Doesn't matter if it's sexual molestation. There's always something that happens out there. But was it right for it to be released to a tabloid? To be released to a tabloid does nothing more than take this family and try and flush them down that society's toilet that nobody will respect again. You don't see politicians' secret records being released, but this family, because of their ideology or whatever, was. Did they make mistakes? Sure they did. Will other families make mistakes? Maybe. It's hard to say. But the big point of all of this is, I'm going to try to bring you two different sides here, is that we have to do something to stop these train wrecks in reality media from coming forward, because your lives and my lives and what we spend the time sitting back and watching them, I'm not sure if it's productive or not, but the big point is that we all could use some education and we all need to protect the victims. That's it. That's tonight's show. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you again real soon here on Scared Monkeys Radio.
You've been listening to the Dana Pretzer Show on Scared Monkeys Radio. We invite you to discuss tonight's program with other listeners by joining us at scaredmonkeysradio.com, where you'll find program archives, links to tonight's guest websites, and further information regarding tonight's topics. Scared Monkeys Radio is a production of scaredmonkeys.com. Thanks for listening.